This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of Your Legal Rights, we're going to focus on family law, and in particular, alternative resolution methods for divorce, including mediation and private judging. It's my great pleasure to have two very, very experienced family lawyers with us. Mark Ressa, who is the immediate past chair of the Executive Committee of the Family Law Section of the State Bar. His offices are in San Ramon. Eileen Preville, whose offices are in Oakland. She spends most of her time private judging, which we'll explain to you what that means. And both of my guests are specialists in family law certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. Funding of this segment of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Family Law Section of the State Bar and by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, which certifies 11 fields of law. Your Legal Rights is also funded by the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar and by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. I want to welcome you, Eileen, and you back, Mark, after being on the program a couple of times. Would you start us off? What's the current court situation with regard to family law?
The family court system today is overburdened and underbudgeted. There simply aren't enough courtrooms. There aren't enough family law judges. In some counties, they have cut or defunded court reporting, which is essential if you are going to try to appeal any family law judgment. 80% of the family law litigants these days are self-represented litigants, meaning that they aren't represented by attorneys. It's a complicated process. Most self-represented litigants do not end up with what they might otherwise be entitled to if they only better understood the process. And even those who are represented, the court can only give a sliver of time and tend to piecemeal litigation. As a result, and it's not uncommon, for instance, in a preliminary hearing, which often will try to maintain the status quo, determine things like child custody, the timeshare, whether fees are going to be paid by one side or the other, whether there's going to be an order for child support, spousal support, if there's going to be residential exclusion. All of these initial processes oftentimes are only given 15 to 20 minutes. And again, that's whether they're self-represented litigants or whether they are represented by counsel. And so in order to, if you have a more complicated or even a family law situation that requires more time, it tends to be a very, very, very expensive process, especially for those who are represented by attorneys. And Chuck, let me just give you an example. If, for instance, you have a preliminary hearing and the court will give you 15 to 20 minutes, both sides who are represented by attorneys have to show up typically at the beginning of the calendar, which means 8:30. We rarely get out much before noon or 12:30. You are paying the attorneys hundreds of dollars an hour on both sides, and the best or the most amount of time that a family law court is inclined to give you is this 15, 20 minutes. So there are oftentimes thousands of dollars expended in very small piecemeal fashion. And both mediation and private judging offers family law litigants actually a more cost-beneficial way of dealing with this entire process.
Let me throw a question to you at this point, if I may. Do you see any improvement in the access to the court by consumers, or do you see that it's going to stay the same way or even get worse?
Well, that's an interesting question because it's my experience that the California legislature is trying to budget the family law courts appropriately. And my best information is that the governor of the state of California is also now beginning to properly fund courts, family law courts. The best thing I think people can do is to write the governor, to write their local representative. The courts do need more funds. They are underfunded. But my hope is, and I think Eileen will probably agree with me, that things will probably improve.
Yes. I hope so. You have painted a rather abysmal kind of picture of what the situation is. Eileen, you are spending most of your time private judging.
Pretty much all my time.
Right? What does that mean?
Well, I think that it's important for people to understand the difference between mediation and private judging. Mediation is a process where the parties, the litigants, if they filed, use a facilitative person, a mediator, and they sit at a table together and they talk about how to solve their problems in a way that's very empowering and is very directed by the litigants and is really about them. Mm-hmm. And it's not about the other person at the table. The mediator really takes a very low-key role. They're really there just to facilitate the dialogue between the people so that the people then can achieve their goals in the process.
And what my understanding is of mediation is that the mediator, although may be a very experienced family lawyer, for example, cannot give any kind of legal advice to either party, or am I wrong?
Well, I think that they give guidance to the parties about very pragmatic problems, about how to navigate the legal system in terms of getting their deal as a judgment, or how to write it up in a way that memorializes their understandings and agreements. Mm-hmm. But a mediator isn't functioning as a lawyer. They're functioning as a facilitator, so their job isn't really to give people legal advice. And in fact, some mediators have very limited legal training and are really trained and come out of the mental health profession, and that's perfectly acceptable.
And try to help people to work more cooperatively in trying to find a solution.
That's correct.
Which makes sense, of
right.
course.
Right. Private judging is very different. There is a bit of a spectrum involved in private judging. Some private judges, there's probably six or seven of us working full-time in the Bay Area. Some private judges model themselves on the public court model and really in a private setting do very much what the public court judges do. Mm-hmm. They conduct hearings in a very kind of structured way. They don't meet with the parties separately.
They do not. Or do they do?
They don't.
They don't. Okay.
They
right.
only meet with the parties together.
Okay.
And primarily that many private judges function in a decision-making role where they're adjudicating issues. They're listening to the evidence just like a regular judge and rendering a decision based on what's put before them. There is also a broader spectrum. It isn't that you get closer to mediation because it is still a directive process. But some private judges try to personalize the process more, that see what it is that the party's expectations and needs are, make the parties feel that it's tailored more to their individual needs and not an existing structure. And it gives the parties a much more personal experience that many people really find valuable and also frequently produces settlements. Because if people feel they've been heard and if people feel they're given good advice about how to solve their problems, they frequently can settle their cases without them going through a trial,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
that some private judges, including myself, see the settlement role that we occupy as the most important role, even though we're not working as mediators.
Yes, yes, I can see that. People who do this, who are able to have or go for private judges, have to be able to afford this.
Yes. But
the same with mediation, although I would expect that private judging is a much more costly thing for parties in a divorce than mediation.
Well, primarily the difference in cost is that most of the time you don't bring your lawyer to a mediation.
Yes.
You go to your lawyer, get advice, formulate your positions, and then you go to the mediation with the other party and the mediator and sit in the room. I rarely have people who are not represented by counsel in my courtroom.
Uh-huh.
And, in fact, almost all the proceedings that I conduct involve both parties having their lawyers present. So, yes, the professional fees are are more expensive, the hourly burn rate is greater because there's three professionals being paid. I get paid for my time as well.
What do you do, if I may come to this at this point, what do you do for people who are self-represented? Now, one of the statistics you've given just a couple of minutes ago, Mark, is that about, I think you did, certainly before we went on the program you did, 80% apparently in California of the litigants in divorce are self-represented. That means they do not have an attorney. What do you do for those people? Now, probably for 80% of those people who, or 80% of the people who are self-represented, can't afford perhaps mediation, can't afford perhaps a private judge. There is, of course, with all counties, there is the Family Law Facilitator's Office, which has attorneys in it to try to be of some assistance to people, but they are not going to go into court with people. So, Mark, what do you say for people who are self-represented?
Well, that's a real tough position to be in because, and I think statistically, of late, there are many people who will file the initial paperwork. The respondent may be served. The respondent doesn't respond. Sometimes defaults are entered. Sometimes they're not. One of the issues that the family law bench throughout the state of California has been dealing with lately is to help clear this backlog of cases that have not been resolved. Oftentimes, people will file and expect that within 6 months, miraculously, will be divorced.
Yeah.
They don't have to do anything further. And, of course, nothing could be further from the truth. There are a number of steps and processes everyone has to go through in order to return to the status of a single person in the state of California. So there are programs out there, and almost each and every county has a county bar association, and almost every single county bar association that I'm familiar with, certainly the ones in the Bay Area, have various programs for self-represented litigants. Alameda has a wonderful program. Contra Costa County has a program. The San Francisco Bar has a program. And they do different things. For instance, one of the things that they'll do is to have contracts with multiple local attorneys who in turn will provide their services at significantly reduced rates. Contra Costa County has a program where the rates that if you qualify for the program, you can pay as little as $40 to $125 per hour for an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may still sound like a lot of money, but it's significantly less than the market going rate for an experienced family law attorney.
What is the market going rate?
Well, in the area, each part of the state varies. I have colleagues and friends in Southern California who charge a phenomenal amount of per hour, sometimes double what we charge here in the Bay Area.
Like what?
Well,
how much?
In Los Angeles, I have colleagues who charge $600 to $750 an hour. I know of some people who charge upwards of $900 to $1,200 per hour. I mean, that's just the reality situation.
Wow.
In the Bay Area, though, my experience is that the rate is more likely to be a relatively new attorney might charge us in the range of $250 to $275.
Mm-hmm.
I think more seasoned attorneys are charging between, say, $325 to $400,
mm-hmm.
and more experienced attorneys are charging something north of $400 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Eileen, I don't think I've run across too many that charge much more than that.
There's a few.
There are a few.
But mostly the sort of high-priced lawyers that we see have offices in San Francisco where they have very expensive overhead,
mm-hmm.
and they're
mm-hmm.
charging a higher rate as a result. But
yes.
I think that what
yes.
Mark said about the finances is absolutely correct.
Yeah. And some of these programs, for instance, will provide CLE, continuing legal education, or seminars for attorneys at significantly discounted rates in exchange for them to take pro bono cases, which are essentially
mm-hmm.
The attorneys aren't getting paid to mm-hmm. represent the litigants. There are some Bay Area family law judges who will actually bring in attorneys certain days of the week, And essentially advise and sometimes even fill out forms for self-represented litigants. So there are programs out there. I would absolutely suggest that if you are an individual going through a divorce and you do not have the finances either to retain your own attorney and go through the public system or mediation, private party mediation, or hire a private judge, definitely they should contact their local bar associations and see what kind of programs are available for low-income individuals and self-represented litigants.
In your respective experiences, and of course doing exclusively private judging, I guess currently you wouldn't have this information. I'm not sure, Eileen. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But with regard to people who are self-represented, the question that I have on this is, in your experience, is it a situation where if these people had known about the programs available through the bar, the pro bono programs or maybe the reduced rates, would they have been able to take advantage of those? But because they were of the opinion that lawyers are so terribly expensive, for most people who are low-income people, that's the case, they just chose not to do this kind of research and try to find out. Do you have any information on that, Mark?
Well, there are people who actually struggle through the process on their own. Judges, I mean, this is part of the reason why the family law system is in a state that it's in, because judges find it necessary to educate the self-represented litigant while they're standing in front of the bench.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure Eileen has seen this where a judge will explain, go on for 5-10 minutes explaining what preliminary disclosure documents are and how this is the form that they need to fill out. And these forms are absolutely required in order to finalize a divorce. I mean, you've seen that.
Yes. And I would say that what I've also seen in the public courts is two additional opportunities for people. There really are a couple of really good self-help books out there on how to do your own divorce. And for most people that have very simple economic issues and typical child support, child custody issues, these books are extremely helpful. And they're not dumbed down. They really talk to people in a language that people can understand. Most of the family law facilitators' offices at the public courts offer clinics, which give people that sort of parse a case in terms of the beginning, middle, and end, and give people an opportunity to be exposed to what steps are necessary that they need to complete in each step of the process. So people that are very focused can figure out how to navigate the process reasonably well, because it's become much more user-friendly to self-represented people. But if people come into the process and expect other people to do it all for them, then
it's a big mistake.
It's a big mistake,
yeah.
The people end up with really frequently complications that they don't need or want as a result of their lack of attention to the
Very
problem.
Very unfortunate. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're talking about alternative resolution methods for divorce, including mediation and private judging. My guests are both certified specialists in family law, certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. Eileen Preville spends most of her time, by the way, private judging, which she's talked about just a few minutes ago. Her offices are in Oakland. My other guest is Mark Ressa, immediate past chair of the Executive Committee of the Family Law Section of the State Bar. His offices are in San Ramon. For those of you who listened to us during the entire program, whether you're in the Bay Area or you're listening by way of the internet on www.klw.org, I will be giving out the local number in a few minutes, and you'll be able to call in and ask a question or two if you like. Eileen, let me turn to you. What kinds of cases, what kinds of people do you feel mediation would work for?
I think that people who are where in the family they have a relatively balanced a notion of power in the family.
There's not a bully?
Well,
one party is not a bully over the other? Is that what you're
correct.
Saying?
Okay.
Controlling.
Oh, pardon me. Sorry. Thank you very much.
And certainly to talk about an extreme, obviously a case where there's been domestic violence of any kind is completely unsuitable for mediation.
Yeah.
But people that really see divorce as a change in their family structure mm-hmm. that they would like to come away with as much of their assets and goodwill towards each other intact, and where they want to come out with as few scars as possible by the process itself, then mediation as a self-directed process gives them and empowers them to accomplish those goals. And it's really a remarkable and very successful process for people that go into the process with the right attitude. Now, I also have to say that many people who go into this process and want to get this kind of result from the process but have very complicated and sophisticated financial problems choose private judging as an option because it's not mediation. It is adjudication. But it's very settlement-oriented, and it's a very directed form of settlement process. Mm-hmm. And as a result, people who come in the process and have goodwill but don't have all the right answers, can frequently figure out how to navigate this complicated economic side of the process in a way that gets them the result they want, which is as little toxicity and strife in their family as possible.
With private judging, if we have a situation where we have a complicated financial situation or a family business or something like this, besides the parties in divorce who would have their own attorneys to come before you, for example, in private judging, it makes a lot of sense that they also would have professionals who would be able to testify before you as to what the family business value was or the complication of the high-tech company or whatever it is. I mean, you as the private judge cannot take that role and help them with the evaluation of the family law business or the family business, excuse me.
Well, I can't do the work, okay?
Yeah,
but,
okay.
But, for example, it is frequently the case in private judging cases where when it's clear that a forensic accountant, which is what you're describing,
yes.
is required in the case, that I will offer the parties the option of my appointing one who
okay.
is neutral. And therefore, they don't have to hire two and have and of course, when you hire two, there's two opinions, two adversaries, and a lot of expenditure.
Yeah.
If you have a neutral who can simply come up with the correct answer, then you save at least half the money, or if not more, and you certainly can, in many cases, avoid a trial. So part of the directed process in private judging is helping people navigate those choices, understanding both the economics and other issues. But I also have to say that almost everyone that I know who works as a private judge is really knowledgeable about these sophisticated financial issues. It is part of the service that we provide. That allows us to guide people to the correct neutrals so they can select one person to be the neutral. But it also avoids trials, because if someone who's a forensic accountant comes to me and pitches a theory of business valuation that I know to be completely wrong
Bogus.
And produce the wrong answer, I can tell
yeah.
everybody pretty early in the case that the game is not going to get played that way and suggest to people that they move towards a more sensible solution to the problem.
We have not talked about children yet and the situation confronting them. Can you talk very briefly, we have a couple minutes left in the statewide version of the program. Can you talk very briefly about how children react to their parents going through mediation or private judging as opposed to going through the whole regular process of the court and trial, et cetera? Mark, do you want to?
Well, I would say that when the issue is custody, I think mediation is probably a better, softer approach to the issue. Private judging is going to be very similar to the public system. And one of the things that might happen is there are recommending mediators, there are custody evaluations. The private judge would deal with those experts in the same way that they probably would in the public system, as Eileen suggested. Under Evidence Code 730, these experts would be appointed as a neutral. And write very lengthy reports, often testify, come up with recommendations in terms of what the custody situation is going to be, whether they're going to allow a move away, whether the children are going to go to private school as opposed to public school. So I think it's going to be very similar to a public system and when the issue of child custody comes up. Mediation tends to be, as Eileen suggested, is sometimes a little more effective in that arena. Is that true, Eileen?
Yes, but I think that one of the things that private judging can do is that we all know there's probably, as everybody should be aware, experts in the field don't generally agree on everything. Mm-hmm. But in family law and in forensic psychology, all of the experts agree that the most damaging things to children whose parents are going through a divorce is the conflict that mm-hmm. the parents morph onto their children and expose their children to. And so one of the things in private judging that we can do is that in addition to having a considerable amount of freedom and latitude about what experts to use and to make sure we get the best that there are, mm-hmm. the other piece is that we can generally intervene in the conflict between the parents earlier and more effectively, which means that there's less conflict exposed to the children. So in a way, Mark is right. The process is similar, but the timeline is mm-hmm. shorter, mm-hmm. and that spares the kids
That's
at the end
helpful,
of the day.
Certainly for the kids, no question about that. Just to clarify one thing, if parties go through the regular court system, my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, is that if there are children and if there are custody issues, there is a mandatory requirement at no additional, as I understand, no additional charge to the parties, that the court will appoint a mediator to help on the custody issue. Is that true or not?
It's a little different than that.
No, is it? Okay.
The parties do have to attend a family-centered mediation process. Different counties call it different things.
But it's at the courthouse, and these are court employees.
So there's no additional charge to the
correct.
Parties.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the process typically takes anywhere from an hour and a half to 3 hours.
Correct.
The parties typically have to go through some kind of orientation. Oftentimes mm-hmm. it's watching a video online.
And are if the children are, let's say, teenagers, are they required to be there for those that process? No.
No.
No, just the adults.
But now we have some changes in the law very recently, and those changes in the law suggest that teenage children may well have a seat at the table now.
That's my understanding. So they can say that's what I'd like to do or who I'd like to be with, et cetera, et cetera.
What kind of life I want to have.
Yeah, okay. All right. It is just about 7:27 at 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. We're doing family law, alternative resolution methods for divorce, including mediation and private judging. If you have a question in the family law area, my guests are probably a couple of the most experienced persons in the area of family law in California. And so I invite you to call in with your question, your comment, whatever it is. It has always been difficult for people because they're afraid their spouse will hear their voice, and they are very reluctant to call in. So if you want to call in, certainly use a phony name, and hopefully we'll hear you on the air. And you can ask your question, so try not to be bashful. This is a great opportunity for you to call in, ask a question, make a comment. Please understand this. The State Bar of California does not permit my guests to give legal advice. We just don't have the time. We don't have the time to get all the facts. But what we'll do, if you call in with a specific question asking what should I do next, I will ask my guests to more generally respond and try to give you some direction. My guests are both certified specialists in family law, certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. Eileen Preville, who is spending most of her time doing private judging. Her offices are in Oakland. My other guest is Mark Ressa, immediate past chair of the Executive Committee of the Family Law Section of the State Bar. His offices are in San Ramon. So please call in with your question, your comment, your concern. We'll try to give you an opportunity to get something out of this and give you some direction. Before we take our first call, what I'd like to mention to you is that support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. For a referral to a lawyer, you can call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. That number is 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a lawyer referral service because it has a county bar. You can call your own during normal business hours, tell them what the problem is, whatever it is, and they'll do their best to find someone who's experienced in the area and set you up for a half an hour consultation with an attorney. And you will, in regard to most counties, for half an hour, you'll pay somewhere between $25 to $35. That does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service to keep that going. Now, one other thing I'd like to let you know before we take our first call is that I'm a great believer in people taking advantage of attorneys who are specialists. And the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar has a statewide number that you can call, 415-538-2100, 415-538-2100. It also has, you can go to the State Bar website, www.calbar.ca.gov, and then to go to the left side of the screen to Legal Specialists. You either call the phone number or go to the website, and you can find out who the certified specialists are, whether it's family law or one of the other 11 specialties. Find out who these people are in your local area in California. So it's very valuable. All right. We're going to take our first call. Larry, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, you're fine.
Good, good, good. Well, I'm calling basically because I don't have a problem, but hopefully want to prevent a problem. I'm 65 plus. I'm not in California. I'm in a different state. But
what state are you in?
I'm calling from Georgia.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Yes. You're hearing us on the Internet then.
Yes, yes, sir, I am.
Well, go ahead. What's your question?
Thank you. Well, I'm calling to kind of get some good general guidance as what I could do if my girlfriend moves into my house. What I could do maybe to prevent any kind of legal liability, any kind of legal problems, any suggestions for seniors who want. You're laughing, but you're laughing, but
no, it's serious.
For seniors who want to cohabitate.
All right, let me suggest something because my guests are not familiar, I don't think, with Georgia law. My suggestion is, you were listening as I gave the lawyer referral service number for San Francisco, right?
Yeah.
I think if you call, what county are you in Georgia?
I'm in county, it's called Forsyth County.
Oh, are you? Okay. There should be a bar association for that county, and I presume that they will have a lawyer referral service. I think in light of the concerns that you have, both for yourself and your girlfriend, and you want to make sure you don't end up where it's an unpleasant situation, I think you should call your local bar association lawyer referral service, make an appointment to meet with a family lawyer, and discuss these issues.
Good advice.
I really
Thank
think that's
so
what
much.
You should do.
Yeah, and I think so, too. I mean, I was just calling because, as I'm sure you know, I mean, more and more boomers are cohabitating instead of marrying.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought like, yeah, maybe some general guidelines as or suggestions as to what I could do to probably prevent a problem.
Yeah, now, Larry, Eileen wants to say something.
You know, the laws that deal with the very issue you're calling about are very different from state to state. California has a basic set of laws that doesn't really give cohabitants much legal rights.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that Georgia, being a common law state, is very different.
Yeah.
And in fact, there may well be legal jeopardy for you in a cohabitation arrangement because of the specifics of Georgia law. So what Chuck said to you about calling the local bar, I think, is an imperative because you live in Georgia.
I also suggest, Larry, that it may be well worth it for you, and I'm not being facetious, that besides seeing a family lawyer in Georgia, you should also see a landlord-tenant attorney. because it may be that perhaps having some sort of tenancy agreement would be something that would be recommended in Georgia. I don't know. But I think it's something you want to explore, and I suspect that their lawyer referral service charge is probably not exorbitant. I'm hoping for you, but I think in terms of what the future holds for you and your girlfriend, it would be well worth the investment that you may have to make. So good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and keep listening in Georgia. Tell your friends, will you?
I will.
To listen to the program. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Thank you very much for calling. By the way, I want to let you all know that next week, whether you're in California, Georgia, or wherever you may be, I'm going to have a very additional, besides this exciting program that we're talking about tonight about divorce, which really can be very exciting, actually. We hope to have it not so exciting, and that's why my guests are here. But next week, we're going to be talking about some of the more recent Supreme Court decisions, and there are some very incredible cases that have just come down in the last few days. There's a cell phone case. There's the one involving IUDs and insurance, whether or not that is something that a private company needs to pay for women to avoid pregnancy, etc. We're going to talk about that. My guests are both incredible people, very knowledgeable. One of them is Lawrence Tribe, Harvard Law professor. He's known nationally. My other guest is Myron Moskowitz, who is known throughout California as a constitutional expert. So I invite you to join us for that, wherever you are listening. Marcia, welcome to the program. Marcia, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay, you're on the air, my dear.
I was involved with a common law relationship for 33 years. And it seems to be over now.
Oh.
And I'd like to know if I have any rights to my partner's pension.
Oh, what state are you in?
San Francisco.
You're in the state of San Francisco, huh? Okay. All right. Did you ever enter into any agreements with your partner?
We had a San Francisco County domestic partnership.
Oh.
Which entitled me to his pension, but it was never dissolved. But the day before he left, I found some papers that he had created a new domestic partnership with someone else and never told me. So I assume that mine is still in effect until he tells me.
How recent did he leave, Marcia?
March.
Of this year?
Yeah.
Okay. Please remember, my guests cannot give you specific legal advice.
I don't want legal advice. What I'd like to know is if I have any rights under common law.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
Look that up.
Marcia, under common law or whatever your rights may be, that would be legal. Those would be legal issues. You've got to keep that in mind. Did you get the phone number for the lawyer referral service in San Francisco?
Yes, and I've called them, and they have been absolutely no help at all to me.
Really? Okay.
I've called them 4 or 5 times. They have some type of program for extremely poor people. I mean, really, 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 really poor people. I don't earn enough money to pay taxes.
Wait a minute. Have you asked
Marcia,
listen to me for a minute, if you would, please. Have you asked them to set up an appointment for you to meet with a family law attorney?
I met with one, and she told me that because I had a San Francisco domestic partnership, it wasn't worth anything.
Well, all right. Let me get some comments for you to see if my guests do have something to say to you. And frankly, one thing, Marcia, it may be worth your time and effort not to just have relied on what this one family lawyer told you. You may want to make another appointment with another through the lawyer referral service, another family lawyer, to try to get another view on this. Because
every time you make an appointment, you have to pay $35.
Well, listen. Listen,
and then
listen.
If you get the one like I had, which is a waste.
Okay, of let me get some. Let me, Marcia, let me get some comments from my guest for you.
The first thing I would say about that is that the question that Marcia is posing requires some specialized knowledge.
Sure.
It's not something that every family law attorney might know something about, and it's an area that the people on the panel. Again, it requires specialized knowledge.
When you say California, the people on the panel, what do you mean? The lawyer referral panel?
I think what she needs to do is she needs to perhaps explain her situation and ask for someone who is familiar with this particular area of the law. I will say, before I turn it over to Eileen in a second, is that, and this somewhat relates to the previous question, California does not recognize what are, they don't recognize a common law marriage that is established here in the state of California. In other words, people live together, they carry on as husband and wife. If they do not formalize that relationship, it's not viewed as a marriage mm-hmm. and subject to the laws relating to divorce. However, if a common law relationship is established outside of the state of California where a common law relationship is recognized mm-hmm. as a valid marriage, then they move to California. That can be dissolved by way of divorce. But I think Eileen's going to talk briefly about domestic partnership.
Well, domestic partnership is a series of legislative actions that have occurred in California. And it's an evolving area because a significant number of people in the state of California used registered domestic partnerships when same-sex marriages were not mm-hmm. allowed.
Yes.
So if all the statutory requirements were followed for a proper registered domestic partnership...
She's saying, though, under San Francisco law, I think she is.
Well, but see, that may be the problem.
Yeah.
So there are a series of very significant technical requirements here, and of course we don't have any of that information, so we don't know what's been done properly, what wasn't done properly. And ma'am, I think that the answer to your question is that you either need to go back to the lawyer referral service and ask for a lawyer who is knowledgeable in domestic partnerships, which is a very unique area, as Mr. Reza has said, but I think that also whether you have to pay for this by going to a regular lawyer or you want to go back to the lawyer referral service, you have to remember that if this pension has any value to you, then you've got to decide whether or not you can afford to not get answers to your questions.
Marcia, do you know with regard to your partner who has left you in March, if with regard to his pension... If he informed his employer that you were his beneficiary, do you know that? Are you there?
Yes, he did inform his employer, and that's one of the reasons why we did the domestic partnership.
Okay, all right.
Because he was a city employee.
All right.
Couldn't give it to me unless we were domestic partners.
Okay. Did you ever get a copy of any of the information regarding his pension?
Yes, I had a copy of that.
Do you have it now?
I do believe I have it now.
Well, you find it. Find it. And then you want to take that when you have your next appointment with a family lawyer who knows something about common law and domestic partnerships. You want to take that with you. You may possibly have some kind of action against him, perhaps for breach of contract. I don't know. But, I mean, frankly, don't give up. And also, I want to invite you to join us again, but not to rely on this solely. We will do our regular Call a Lawyer night on the 23rd of July, and I will most likely have a family lawyer here in the conference room, and you can call in and talk with that family lawyer if you wish, but it's essential that you make another appointment to speak with someone after telling the lawyer referral service what more specifically your problem is, to meet face-to-face with an attorney. So I wish you the best of luck.
Okay. Well, thank you, Chuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't give up. Hey, maybe there's something. You can harass this guy and get something out of it. Who knows? Thank you very much for calling.
Okay. Goodbye.
I'm a great believer. I don't believe in harassing people, but I do believe in people who have problems to be good consumers, to be active consumers, and to be proactive. Don't give up. Don't give up. Okay, I want to give you, by those of you who are too bashful to call in, here's the number, 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. And again, as I just told Marcia, our Call a Lawyer night will be on July 23rd. The phone number to call on that evening to speak with any one of, usually we have 7 or 8 attorneys in the conference room off the air, 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. I'd like to encourage those of you who have any questions, problems, concerns, and you'd like to let my guests know about it. The number is 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. This is a wonderful opportunity for you to pose your question to two incredibly experienced persons in family law. The purpose that I designed this program for was to prevent problems, to try to have some self-help. And, you know, the reason, of course, that you're invited to call in and ask questions is to help you kind of focus on where your next step may be if you've got a problem. So take advantage of this. We have about 12 minutes left of the program, and I hope you will make the most of it. If you are listening to us on the internet at www.kalw.org, that's the same number to call, 1-415-841-4134. And if you do want, wherever you may be in the state of California or maybe somewhere else outside of California, when we do our Call a Lawyer night on July 23rd, that same number, the 1-800-525-9917, is available to you also. So as soon as Martin is able to put on the window here who it is who'd like to talk with my guest, we'll let you know. And it, my goodness, it's Ulysses. Ulysses, where you been?
Yes, I've been listening to you every time you're on the air. Real quick, because I know your time is short.
Yeah.
I'd like your guest to comment on the fact that California is a community property state. There's the Marvin, Triola Marvin case where they were living together. Martina Navratilova and her partner were living together. And Rock Hudson and his partner were living together. And my understanding is those cases are all still good law and that those complaining parties recovered. I'll take my answer off the air.
Ulysses, terrific. Thank you very much for calling. How about some comments? Yes, yeah. Please, Eileen.
I think that the most significant issue that came away from all the cases that the caller talked about is that when people make contracts with each other and when they perform under those contracts, they agree to provide services, mm-hmm. other than inappropriate services, but services such as working in the business, which is the case in the Maglite case that we saw, also in the Triola case, again there was a contract issue there. Under most circumstances, people that cohabitate and are able to recover some part of what seem like marital rights are really pursuing contract actions.
Yes.
And that's what they're succeeding in because California is not a common law state.
Yeah. And Marcia, that's what I had in mind. You may have some contract rights there that you want to take advantage of. Okay. Let's see who is next on the list here to talk with us. We've got a number of people who would like to talk with you. Martin, as soon as you can, let's find out who that is. And we do have enough time to take a few calls before the end of the program. We have about 10 or 11 minutes left. 1-415-841-4134 if you'd like to call in, make a comment, ask a question, etc., etc. Again, I want to encourage you, if you do have a problem, to take advantage of the lawyer referral service in your county, wherever you are. If you feel that you would like to get a certified specialist, then again, I advise you or certainly suggest to you, you might want to call the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar to find out who the certified specialists are in your area. That's 415-538-2100, or go to the internet at www.calbar.ca.gov. Go to the left of the screen and look for legal specialists. Click that on, and you'll find out in your county who the certified specialist may be in any one of the 11 fields. So, Martin, who do we have? Oh, yeah, we've got Patty. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm calling on behalf of my sister. She's been separated from her spouse for a couple of years. She keeps calling. She's very concerned. She doesn't have the money for attorneys. Hopefully they'll be able to mediate their community property issues in San Jose. So they have a 25-plus year marriage living together. It's combined. They bought a house down there about 2 or 3 years before they were married. He bought it, and there is no prenup. It's in both names now, although he didn't put her name on it for the first few years.
Mm-hmm.
So they're arguing about the details. And, you know, if they can't come to some resolution, they're going to have to pay for attorneys that she cannot afford. So if, mm-hmm. given the fact there's no prenup, is it just a flat-out community property settlement?
Well, that's very difficult to say on the air, but go ahead if you would, Mark, please.
It's just the real estate.
Yeah, yeah, I heard you.
Mm-hmm. Right. The presumption is that title largely controls. So if at some point the house was transferred into both names, probably because they refinanced the property, from that point forward, it's going to be presumed to be community property. But even before she was put on title, payments that were made may have acquired a mm-hmm. community property interest. And given the length of time that you've just now described, Patty, I suspect that a good portion, if not close to all, of the value of that particular asset will probably mm-hmm. be deemed to be community property. So it's certainly worth her time to and if she can talk to an attorney to make sure that her rights are protected.
Patty, let me ask you this: is there any equity in the home at all?
Oh God, yes. It's in Silicon Valley. There's quite a bit of equity.
So we're talking about an equity of at least several hundred thousand dollars.
Yes.
You know, frankly, with that in mind, my suggestion to you is to urge your sister to contact the Santa Clara County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service and seek the advice, a half-an-hour consultation. I'm sure she could afford that much. And it may well be, if her husband is working, that the court is going to award attorney's fees. But
well,
go ahead.
There also is another choice, which people don't know a lot about, which is called a FLARPL.
Ooh.
And it's a family law attorney's fee lien. You can be referred by the Bar Association referral line to a lawyer who can record a lien against the house to secure their fees when there's no liquidity and as long as she's on title. So if her name is on the house, she may be able to lien the house for the retainer of the attorney so that she doesn't have to put up the cash.
What did you call that?
It's called
I didn't spell it.
It's called a FLARPL, FLARPL.
P-A-L?
That's right.
Okay. No, P-L. No, it's an abbreviation for Family Law Attorney's Fee Lien.
Okay, good enough. And then one other question real quick again. The California State Bar Legal Specialist line, the phone number.
Yeah, you want it? Okay.
Thank you.
415-538-2100.
Okay.
That's in San Francisco. That's the statewide number. And your sister sounds like she's kind of nervous about this. You can call for her.
I will, but I need this for other type of legal specialists.
Okay, so, yeah. Well, you can call and ask them. Where do you live, Patty?
I live in Montclair.
Montclair. Okay, you can call. And that's, Santa Clara County?
No, I'm in Alameda County.
Oh, pardon me. You can call them and ask them who are the certified specialists in the area you're concerned about in Alameda County.
Thank you so much.
And they'll tell you. And then what you need to do is when you get some names and phone numbers, you need to make some calls and find out, what am I going to be charged, if anything, for an initial consultation? Sometimes the certified specialist will not charge for the initial consultation. That's been my experience. The Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar has been funding this program for at least 25 years. And I have had certified specialists on this program, such as my guests here, over the last 25-plus years, and I have learned that there are certified specialists who are willing to not charge for the initial consultation, which could be very advantageous to a prospective client. So tell do yourself and tell your sister to, you know, kind of become a more aggressive consumer, okay?
Okay, you are preaching to the choir with me, and I will make sure to have her
good,
back.
Good.
Thank you.
Glad to hear it. All right.
Bye-bye.
John, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you for your time. I was married to somebody from outside the United States and then brought her into the country. We've lived together for almost 9 months, mm-hmm. and our marriage is not working. And so now we want to file a divorce. Mm-hmm. And the question is, she wants to go back to her country. And I am asking, can we finalize the divorce without her physically being here? We also have a child with her.
Oh, so my. How old is the child?
The child is 14 years old.
How much?
14.
14. That's her child, not yours.
It's our child.
Oh, it is? Somebody, okay. So you got... John, where did you get married? What state?
I got married in Kenya.
In Kenya. Okay. So your wife and you got married in Kenya. You live here. Both of you live here. Is that right?
Yes.
And you've lived here how long?
No, I've lived here for almost 15 years. But
how about her?
I only came here like 1 year ago.
Okay. What comments do you
well,
have?
Well, the quick answer to that is California, so long as the marriage was legal in the location in which the, either whether that's common law, whether it's by way of a marital license, and they come here to move and live for at least 3 months in the county in which they're filing and 6 months in the state of California, they can file in California mm-hmm. and ask for a divorce. Mm-hmm. There may be some question if they have property outside of California in terms of how the court is going to resolve that particular issue. But in terms of the actual divorce, custody issues, even property issues can be resolved here in California.
But to answer his question, sir, I would say to you that if the two of you can go to a mediator or document service and prepare your divorce documents in advance before she leaves so that her signature can be notarized, so there's no question that she signed the papers. You don't have to ever appear in a courtroom if you participate in the process through documents. But the minute there has to be a judge making a decision in the case, then it's very difficult to do this outside of California and have her not be here. She can, in most cases, testify by phone. However, that process is very difficult, and sometimes there's problems with identification. So if there's going to be a fight, she probably needs to be here. If you guys can work it out, she might not need to be.
We have come to the end of the hour. I want to thank you both very much for joining us. It's been great to have you back on the program, Mark and Eileen. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
My guests have been Mark Ressa, immediate past chair of the Executive Committee of the Family Law Section of the State Bar. My other guest is Eileen Prayville. She is spending most of her time doing private judging. Both of my guests are specialists in family law certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, which is what has funded this program along with the Family Law Section of the State Bar. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Additional funders of the Your Legal Rights program are the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. If you'd like to hear something about who the justices of the Supreme Court of the United States are, and also hear about some of the interesting and very significant cases, the cell phone case, and maybe some of the others that have just come down from the U.S. Supreme Court, that's what we're doing next week. My guests will be renowned experts on constitutional law, Harvard Law Professor Lawrence Tribe, and Golden Gate Law School Professor Emeritus Myron Moskovitz. That's next week. Hope you join us then. Thanks for listening to Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. Uh-huh.